join me in a spirit of prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I read the passage from the gospel earlier this week, I was immediately struck by two things. The first was the sermon title, Creative Destruction, and some of you may recognize that as a phrase that was used by Joseph Schumpeter, a great Austrian school economist in the 20th century, and it was talking about the way in capitalism we need to basically break things to make new things, and this is not going to be a lecture about economics. But I will say that there are resonances of that time in my life, because I studied this stuff back in college in the 1980s, and I graduated in 1986, and then in 1987, there was a very popular song, which some of you may recognize. Now, I consulted with Ernie, and he does not know the song, so he's not going to play for us on the organ, and I don't want to introduce an element of L to you, so I am not going to sing the song. And showing that I'm not really a mean guy, I'm not going to put Brian on the spot either, but I know he's thinking of that song too. The song was popularized by REM, and it was called It's the End of the World and I Know It, and I Feel Fine. And you may recognize this song, and the lyrics are kind of out there, but they're also part of the time, because there were some folks who were talking about an imminent end of the world, and there was unease on the parts of some people, and this song did a great job of expressing that. Now, what does that have to do with the scripture? Because we're not just doing random associations and coming up with a word salad to throw at you today. But the idea of an apocalypse, of the end of the world as we have come to know it, is something that people recognized, that people were living with back at the time of Jesus. And this idea had been around in the Jewish world for a couple of hundred years, and people were expecting cataclysm, the world to end, for judgment to come, and of course it didn't. But they still needed to live with it, and they needed to process their thoughts and their emotions and their questions. And there were apocalyptic books in the Bible. We can look at Daniel. We can look at parts of the New Testament. We can look at the book of Revelation, which has a full-blown apocalypse. Here in Mark, we have what is known as the little apocalypse. And it's a theme that occurs in the other synoptic gospels, in Matthew and in Mark. And in it, Jesus talks about a time of judgment that is going to arrive, and that people are going to be sorted out into the goats and sheep, and some are going to do just fine, and others are not. We've struggled to understand what all of this means for the last 2,000 years, and it is a theme in popular culture. So I remember back in the 1970s, there was a very popular book called The Late Great Planet Earth. I've not read it, but it was for sale everywhere. And then you may remember there was a series called Left Behind, which told us supposedly about the end of the world, what was going to happen. Don't read those books if you're looking for any understanding of the end of the world. Scripture does not tell us when things are going to happen. And Jesus tells that to his disciples right now. When they come into Jerusalem, they are impressed by the scale and beauty of the buildings. And I have to tell you, the temple was a really impressive building. I remember going there as a little kid, about 3 years old at the time, and you can hold this over my head if you want, but I was a rambunctious enough child that my parents occasionally had a tether for me because I could wander off into crowds. As any parent here knows, you can only go so far though in controlling a child. And I managed to separate from my father when we were at the Western Wall, and I just remember this sea of people and feeling really lost. But I wasn't. My dad found me in that sea of strangers. And I remember the people more than the Western Wall. But that wall is really big. And there was an exhibit at the Museum of Science in Boston a few years ago about Jerusalem. And there was a stone that was used in the building of the wall that was shipped to the United States. And we could see it and touch it. And it was big. People wonder what's going to happen to this because it's so grand and beautiful. And Jesus predicted it was all going to come down. Now, I've said this before, I'll say it again. The Bible does not contain Nostradamus-like prophecies. Jesus was able to look at the world around him. He could see that troubled times were unfolding, that there was going to be a showdown with Rome. And this was not a case where David was going to beat Goliath, but Goliath was going to stomp on David. And people wondered, what does this mean for us? Disciples wondered, what does this mean for us? They wanted to get some inside dope. When's the disaster going to happen? And Jesus wasn't going to tell them. Now, you may wonder what kind of God lets this stuff happen. Is it a cruel, capricious God? No. It's a God who has given us the agency of free will. And we have to choose how we, as individuals and as a society, are going to deal with different situations. Now, we've dealt with a sense of apocalypse over the last year and a half or so with the pandemic. There was a sense of unease around the election. But this is the kind of stuff we have to live with. And when Jesus is talking about wars and rumors of war, he's talking about the normal unfolding of history and that the faithful need to carry themselves through this. But we're not alone. God is with us. Now, I know we tend to look for the dark side of things, and I remember reading this book earlier this year called Doom, The Politics of Catastrophe, which was written by Professor Neil Ferguson, and I remember going to an alumni lecture with him, and it was on Zoom, and Professor Ferguson and his wife and children had decided to leave Stanford, and they moved to a bucolic location in Montana. And he had a window behind him during the talk, and it looked like a pretty good place to ride out the apocalypse. But he was telling us during that meeting that we deal with these things all of the time, and we come up with political responses in addition to societal responses. And sometimes we can make sense of what's going on, and sometimes we don't, and what we choose to characterize and to frame our reactions is going to have a big result in terms of whether we can ride through a situation or whether we're going to be crushed by it. So where is the hope? Where are we supposed to look as people of faith? Well, we can look at the instance of Hannah in the Hebrew Bible. And here was a woman who was barren, and she was in this difficult relationship. Her husband loved her. He tried to take care of her. He gave her extra food and made her feel special, or wanted to make her feel special. But there was this other wife, Peninnah. And frankly, she's a biblical version of a mean girl. And she's looking to hurt Hannah and to say mean things. And Hannah is feeling down. And though she's at the temple site, it's not the one in Jerusalem, because that's not been built yet, but she's at the sanctuary in Shiloh, she prayed. And she prayed silently. And as we know, Eli asked her to stop getting drunk on the ground. Now, Eli knew about this kind of stuff because his sons were bad news. And we read about them later in Hebrew Scripture, and they were doing everything that they should not have been doing. But here is this woman who had the courage of her convictions and stood up for herself and said, I'm praying. I'm looking to God for some help and support and solace. And Eli, to his credit, accepted that explanation and offered a blessing to her. Now, I'm not telling you if you offer a faithful prayer, undergirded by conviction here today, that whatever you ask for is going to happen. I'm pretty confident that if you pray for a winning ticket in the lottery or for a pony, it's not going to be happening. But if you turn to God and you look for support and for comfort and for someone who will listen to you and someone who takes your concerns and your needs seriously, then you are going to win. Then you are going to be supported by God. So one of the lyrics in the song I mentioned earlier before is a refrain. And I'm not going to sing it to you, but it's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine. Now, R.E.M. was not making any theological statements here. But if we are followers of Jesus, if we believe in God, if we are part of a community of faith, we can be facing the end of the world as we know it, and we can feel fine. I know that may seem like a whole lot of empty air, hot air, but it's true. And the past year and a half has been a reminder to us of what it's like to live through a time of crisis. None of us have lived through a pandemic before. And you're all wearing masks. I know that's kind of frustrating. But you're here. You're here. And your faith and your generosity have kept this church running. So those lyrics might sound a little bit off to you, but I hope you can see the truth that it may seem like the end of the world as we know it, but you should be fine. Because God is making something new for us. And I will not comment on birth pains because I have no experience of giving birth. But that was something that everybody in the community knew about back then. And a new world coming into being can be difficult, and it can be fraught. But if we've had children, whether we've been the mother or the father, we know those little people who appear change our lives. And that's a miracle. And we can envision what the new world will look like as we try to build it, as we work with one another and with people in our community to build a better world than the one we inherited. It's possible. There is no reason for us to give up. So, I encourage you to listen to the song. You can find it on the internet. You can watch a movie about the end of the world, which is a pretty popular theme in the films. But you'll find, when you watch a disaster flick like Independence Day or 2012, the world ends, but we carry on. And humanity bands together and deals with the new situation. That's what we've been doing over the last year and a half. And that's what I pray, with God's strength and guidance, we will continue to do in the days and weeks and months ahead. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gifts of Scripture, for the warnings of judgments, the expectations that we will follow the way that Jesus set out before us, and that the world can be